The following audio devotional is an excerpt from Chuck Jones' teaching on Esther that he presented during the He Reigns, God at Work in Perilous Times conference held in Selma, Alabama, March 16th through the 18th of 2022.
Prophetically, we live in an Esther time. Not just an Esther time, if I perish, I perish. That's true. But also an Esther 9 time. When the enemy thought he was winning, he discovered that he had been set up to suffer a crushing defeat from which he would never recover. We are living in a breakthrough time. And breakthrough means that I've stepped into a place that I've never known before. You step into a place from which you've never known before and take ground from which you will never retreat. And the enemy will lose ground from which he will never recover. Some interesting things about the book of Esther. The word Jew is used 55 times in these 10 little short chapters, more than any other book in the Bible. Wow. There's something about identity in the book of Esther. We won't have time to look at all these things, but just throw those things out to you. You go back and discover. Esther and Mordecai were amazing, but they didn't become the amazing agents of change on the earth. They didn't step into their full destiny until they own their true identity. The word favor in this short little book is used more than any other book except for Genesis, Exodus, and Psalms. Crazy. The word favor is just stuck in here, stuffed in this book. I love this one. The word banquet is used 20 times. Only 24 more times is the word used in the rest of the Old Testament. If you understand what Esther is trying to proclaim, what the Holy Spirit's trying to scream at us through the book of Esther, you become a banquet people. And life becomes a celebration, even in the midst of adversity. Because what you discover in the book of Esther, and God wants us to get, because this isn't just a unique story about Esther and Mordecai and Haman and Ahasuerus or Xerxes, which is his other name. It's meant to be a truth for all of us. This is a revelation about some things. So whenever it appears that the enemy's winning, Esther tells us, the book of Esther tells us, God is always advancing. You know, there's a place in James where he talks about a word becoming an engrafted word. He said, an engrafted word is able to save your souls. Well, he's not talking about going to heaven as opposed to going to hell. The word save there is the word sozo, wholeness. An engrafted word can bring wholeness into your souls, into your inner person. And so God's desire is that this becomes, what we're going to communicate these next few days, becomes such an engrafted word, it dictates what you're conscious of. Because what we're conscious of is what we manifest. And if you're conscious of hope, God is a God of hope, Romans 15, 13. We say God is love. Yes, he is, but he says that he's a God of hope. Not a God of cynicism or despair or anxiety. He's a God of hope. And when you're conscious of what Esther tries to proclaim, that just that little small truth, that when it seems the enemy's winning, whether it's in your life or on the earth, through pandemics and through wars, when you know, when it's an engrafted word, that when it appears that the enemy is winning, God is always advancing, then you're not full of anxiety. You're walking and manifesting hope. You see, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. And if what I'm conscious of and manifesting is hope, then those around me whose heart has grown sick come alive. What we wear emotionally, mentally, is what we transmit. It's a book about warfare. The context of the book is in the times when Xerxes decided to go to war against the Greeks. Xerxes was the most powerful ruler in the world. the largest army in the world, went to war against the Greeks and got his tail kicked. The first chapter is all about this big 180-day banquet. Then 7 more days after that, showing off all that he had because he's winning over people, supporters, to get others to invest in, to believe in this battle, this war he's about to go into with the Greeks. With first chapter, when Vashti's removed as queen, Esther's not, he doesn't even try to find who the new queen needs to be for 3 years because he's been suffering horrible defeat, a surprising defeat to the Greeks. Esther takes place time-wise between the first return of the Jews under Cyrus. Cyrus was the first Persian king when the Persians defeated the Babylonians. And Cyrus released 50,000 Jews, released the Jews, and 50,000 went to go back and rebuild the temple. That's chapters 1 through 6 in Ezra. And in between that, 7 through 10 is when Zerubbabel went and they rebuild the walls and the infrastructure and stuff. And, of course, Nehemiah and that. But between chapter 6 and chapter 7 is when this story takes place. God wants us to know the reason the book was written without his name even there. God wants us to learn. You ever felt like God was just silent? He was just absent. He just wasn't responding. Heaven was like bronze. God wants us to know, get down inside of us, that he is most active when he seems most absent. The Holy Spirit's proclaiming to us that beneath the surface of even seemingly insignificant human decisions and events, an unseen, good, and uncontrollable powers at work that we can neither explain nor can be thwarted. God's wanting to drill down a truth that we'll never forget, that he is most definitely present when he seems to be most conspicuously absent in our lives.
This concludes this excerpt from the He Reigns Conference. If you'd like to listen to the full conference, it can be found on asinwars.org under Teachings from Schools and Conferences Held in Selma.